Now, each part of the process is outlined here. Okay, so on critical planning issues, this focuses on critical planning issues, develop the appropriate objectives for the HR initiatives for each of the levels of data collection. So when you're doing the data collection, you need to be very clear about that what is this data required for? What is the objective of gathering this particular data? You have to be very clear about even when you're asking for the data. Okay, so details about separating the influence of HR initiative from other influences, converting the data into financial terms, so making it more financial literacy, reporting of the analysis, appropriate costing, qualitative measures, and the target audience that you are going to look at for information sharing. So all forms the part of the ROI analysis plan. Okay, so this forms the entire plan for the ROI. Each part of the process is outlined below here. So now let's see how do we calculate the ROI. The return on investment calculated here using the benefits cost benefit analysis. The benefits of cost ratio is represented by the monetary benefits that your drive has, your initiative has acquired, and it is divided by the cost. So in the formula form, you can see it here like this. So cost benefit cost ratio is equal to HR initiative. The monetary benefits that was driven by the HR initiative and divided by HR initiative cost. So you can get the BCR value. The ROI formula uses the net benefit of the HR. So here it talks about the whole benefit of HR, which is monetary benefit. And here the ROI is calculated in the form of net HR initiative benefits divided by HR initiative costs. So net HR benefit that you've driven in terms of value divided by the initial cost of HR basically. Initial cost of HR initiative. So initial investment. So each part of the process is outlined here very, very well with an example. So the use of these formulas can be shown through an example. Okay, so an innovative sourcing method has been shown here where 16 lakhs with a cost of 8 lakhs. So therefore, the benefit cost ratio is equal to 16 lakhs divided by 8 lakhs, which is equal to 2. So this shows that for every one of cost, 2 were returned as monetary benefits, which means double the profit. The benefit that you have received, which means the double the benefit has been received in the cost of one. So that's the BCR formula. So the next one to explain you is the ROI, where 16 lakhs minus 8 lakhs divided by initial cost, which is your 8 lakhs again. So 16 lakhs minus 8 lakhs, which is your 8 lakhs. 8 lakhs divided by 8 lakhs is equal to 1. So this shows that for every cost of 1, 1 was returned as net monetary benefit. So which means it's break even. You just have put 1 and you have returned 1. So there has been no marginal improvement. I hope everyone is clear with this. Each part of the process is outlined here again. So thus we can see that both BCR and the ROI provide similar information with slightly different angles. There's not much of a difference here. So for short-term initiatives, benefits are calculated over 1 year. And for long-term initiatives, the benefits are spread over the years, over a couple of years. So this duration must be estimated in the planning phase itself. So in the planning phase itself, you need to clearly articulate the duration. So now how do we identify the intangible benefits? The attempt while analyzing data must be to convert all the data to monetary values. So just like the way we saw in the example. So in case the conversion process gets subjective, or if you feel any inaccuracy around and outcome losses, then the data must be regarded as an intangible benefit with a apt application, apt explanation. Otherwise, it will be considered inaccurate. So that's how you will identify the intangible benefit. Now, how do we report the results? So this is the final step, which generates the report, highlights the outcomes of the HR initiative, what is it that the impact that has created because of the initiative, and communicate it to the target audiences that you already have in mind. Okay, the target audiences that you're working for. And there are a variety of reports and formats used to provide the information. So, for example, detailed impact study on a one-page summary or a one-page summary, etc. You know, depends how the audience, how you generate the interest of the audience. So, depending on the kind of background that you have of the audience, you will have to decide what kind of a report you want. Do you want a detailed one or do you want just a summary? There are some backgrounds of target audience who would prefer not too much of lengthy reportings. They would prefer a very quick summary. So approaches to evaluating the HRM effectiveness here, some of the guidelines that we can work here, some standard guiding principles. So to be able to ensure consistency in the measurement process, so some of the guidelines which have been projected here. So can you see these guidelines? Yes, so when conducting a high-level evaluation, collect data at the lower levels. When planning a higher-level evaluation, the previous level of evaluation is not required to be comprehensive. So the previous data could be, previous level of evaluation could be very simple and very superficial as well. So when collecting and analyzing data, use only the most credible sources. And avoid use of extreme data items and unsupported claims when doing ROI calculations. Yeah, so these are some of the guidelines which have been followed in order to ensure consistency of the measurement. Now, how do we apply application part of it? A speedy application is very critical during any change of any new process that you have administered in order to utilize what has already been learned, so hence the application has to be very quick. Implementation, the challenge in implementation is that HR managers will tend to view the ROI as an individual, they will look at it as an intrinsic assessment rather than looking at it as a process improvement tool. Okay, so that's a very common tendency of HR, and that will be that for a while. And they might get into unsupportive, and sometimes it may vary in their approach as well. Requirement of senior management. Now, this is one critical factor as HR is an important function, and any measurement evaluation system must satisfy the needs of the leadership. So their requirements and input can be obtained here through formal meetings. It is also called as leadership listening, which is designed for, to gather information through interactions on various other occasions. Okay, so there are different ways and means of gathering information. It could be a simple brainstorming session where you can generate the interview, or it could be a focus group interview completely of the leadership level. Specific drivers for enhancement of measurement in the system. Various reasons are demanding increased accountability from the human resource function as cost efficiencies. Because it focuses on productivity, legal requirements, etc. In an organization, these drivers also influences the actual measures that you have adopted. Okay, so that is one critical aspect here. The demand, more the demand, the accountability for human resource functions such as cost efficiencies, the focus on productivity, legal requirement, all of these will come into focus. There are some organizations which still thrive on data and measurement and their data collection system, the type of measurement focus that they have, demand for the database decisions, instruments used, what are some of the key instruments that you've used in the data collection. A high measurement focus organization demands more measurement from the HR than others. So an organization which is truly, truly demanding of data will always enforce more measurement from the HR function as a whole. Accordingly, HR must select the most data-driven analytical approach in such an organization. Otherwise, they will fail. availability of the resources to conduct the evaluation. This is very critical. Again, measurement requires time and investment. Both cost and time, both are required along with resources, which may not be readily available. You might have to budget for it. You might have to plan for it. Balance needs to be established between the need for evaluation and the ability to provide the resources for the time. So some organizations may have dedicated measurement resources. Okay, so some organizations who are very, very measurement focused and data focused will have dedicated resources for it, who will give you accurate data as and when it's required in any form of consumption that you would prefer. All of that will be provided because they have a dedicated resource. But if not, then it is you as an HR have to plan for this and have to budget for this. While others need to put additional effort to generate such risk, because you'll have to now put in, if you do not have a readily available resource, you'll have to put an escalation matrix in place and get the necessary budgets approved and then get a resource for yourself. Or else you collaborate and get those resources as to be able to aid to your team. So the desire of HR function to be the leading edge, the level of desire of HR leads and senior management to put their HR, in the leading edge category, they focus on, quantifiable HR contribution, which is clearly articulated in terms of number and numerical value. It determines their approach to HR measurement. It shows what is your lens of looking at HR, focusing HR interventions and measuring HR interventions. So besides the factors mentioned above, the drive of the selection of the approach to measurement, it must be kept in mind that the mainly three types of information requires from HR, which will also drive any measurement of HR functions. So those three are your attitudinal information, comparative information, and cost benefit comparison information. The attitudinal information is the data which is primary data, which is directly collected from the people, which they feel what is their insights and what is their feedback about it, which involves their reactions, their satisfaction levels with HR practices and initiatives. Comparative information, this includes your key performance indicators, your HR cost, your turnover cost, your absenteeism cost, and in comparison with the other organizations. The third one is your cost-benefit comparison information. Particularly those highly critical, strategic, and requiring, which requires more resources in place. So this needs the high level of accountability. So hence, the cost-benefit comparison is very, very important. You cannot just pick up one random budget and then say this. So you have to do the comparison basis, a comparative organization. HRM measurement as part of the balance scorecard. The basic premise behind balance scorecard is that the business will be considered successful if it satisfies the needs of your investors, your stakeholders, and your employees. These are the three key stakeholders of your business. So as the firms use balance scorecard to measure the performance of their businesses, they may face measuring the people factor most difficult, as employee metrics have less acceptability and low rigor compared to other measures. Okay, so then they will find it very, very challenging here to measure the people factor. Now, what are the measures of productivity? These involve some indicators of output per employee. Okay, each employee, this is what is needs to be generated in this many hours. The benefits of using employee productivity metric on the balance scorecard, they could be simple, they could be comprehensive as well, but they should be comparable. It is difficult to translate productivity measures into specific actions as they reflect outcomes and not means. People measures, how do you actually measure the people performance? What people do, the first and foremost is what the people do involves their, it indicates their behavior, which reflects their attitude, towards HR, towards the organization values and culture. How people feel, what is their morale, how is their attitude towards the surveys that are used to understand how people feel about their work. What is their work? Is their work safe enough? Is their work contributing enough to the society? How do they feel about their jobs? How people know? This means, this measures the people's, how do they identify their knowledge or competencies? So how well are they aware of their own competencies? And if they at all feel that if they lack a certain competency, are they cognizant enough of developing that? Or what is their thought process around it? How do you measure process now? These measures focus on systems and dynamics within the organization. And these are very, very process related to organization, and however people are tracked on it. Some of the types of processes which may be tracked here includes your comp and ben management, your performance management, HR planning, succession planning, employee communication. All of these are some of the processes that can be measured. So now HR scorecard, when you talk about HR scorecard, is a mechanism to describe the value of people, and people management systems are created within the organization and to communicate key organizational goals to the employees. Can you see this? Here are the strategic objectives. Here are your key performance indicators. So in order to drive long-term shareholder value, what are the key performance indicators here? Shareholder value and shareholder value growth. So what are the strategic objectives here? Enhance ROI of HR and make it a strategic initiative. Okay, so ROI of HR strategic programs and initiatives, enhance employee productivity, profit per employee, and revenue per employee. So what is the cost per employee and what is the profit per employee? So this is how the HR scorecard is described. As per Brian Becker and Dave Aldrich in 2001, they indicated that the HR scorecard has to have 5 key elements. The first element is what they called it as workforce success. What is the success of your workforce? How has it been successful? The second element they say is the right choice of right HR costs. The cost that you have incurred to is the right HR cost when it comes to the HR cost initiation. The third they say about the right types of HR alignment, that HR has been right enough, has been good enough to align it as per the business imperatives. The fourth element is the right HR practices. So in order to achieve those business imperatives in line with business, what are the right practices that you have adopted? The last and the fifth element is right HR professionals or right HR team members. So these are the 5 key elements that HR scorecard is indicated by: the workforce success, right HR cost, right HR alignment, types of HR alignment, right HR practices, right HR professionals. Some of the challenges associated with evaluating HR performance. Majority of the HR measures report history in terms of what happened in the previous quarter or previous year. Don't you think so? We always do this. You know, majority of HR interventions are always measured or mapped basis the success story of the previous year or the previous quarter or the previous exercise. So most HR measurement approaches provide low impact cost metrics. Okay, so impact, most of the approaches will always talk about the low impact, cost per hire, etc. You know, which is not very, very encouraging when you hear it in the face of it. HR measurement techniques do not provide estimates of risk associated with impactful problems. So it does not specify estimates of the risk that it has, you know, the risk, the threats that you see across. So results of HR evaluation in many cases does not generate options that lead to specific actions on part of the management. Some more challenges. HR measurement is mainly on broad areas covering large number of parameters at one time. So you take in the whole world. So you do not get into specifics. You talk about the, you become generalized and you start measuring in many number of parameters. And hence the management priority is not exercised. Management do not categorize it into one of the priority items. HR professionals identify HR management approach with very, very limited involvement by the business. So they only kind of showcase what they feel is right, what they have done it from their lenses. They do not show the involvement of the business. So hence there becomes, too many stakeholders when it comes to claiming the ROI also. So most HR measurements at a point in time cover internal aspects of the organization and it may not present the real picture. Since an organization does not exist in isolation, there are all the other, which was what I said, that there are too many evolving stakeholders which will be coming into place the moment you claim something. So hence, you cannot just focus only on the internal aspects of the organization. Okay, that may not project the right image. You have to do the comparative study and you have to showcase the comparative analysis. Since an organization is not existing all alone, it's not in isolation. Now, the transition to HCM from HRM. So what is human capital management? Human capital management is the set of practices an organization use for recruiting, for managing, for developing, for optimizing the employees to increase their value, having all the skills that are required in the company's workforce. A higher productivity, leading into higher productivity, employees to increase their value to the company. It is, and that's what is human capital management is all about, and which results into these parameters. Hiring the right talent, having all the required skills that are there in the company's workforce, that are expected in the company's workforce, managing the employees effectively, and increasing productivity every day in and day out, right? So that's what is human capital management. Set of practices an organization uses for whether it is to do with recruitment, whether it's to do with the management, development, organizing the employees to increase their value to the company. So done right, human capital management results in all these four criteria. What is the difference between human capital management and human resource management now? In general, both of the things do the same thing actually. So if you see both a human capital management, which is HCM, and human resource management actually have they actually deal with the HR department of an organization, isn't it? So both are very, very similar. Human resource management works to create and manage the systems and processes that are required to acquire, train, and retain the organization's workforce. That is what the human resource management works. So human these are the two differences that are predominantly being exercised here in general that you can see. Both are part of HR department of any of the organization. However, HRM works to create and manage the systems and procedures to be able to hire, the right talent, recruit the right talent, retain the right talent, and develop the workforce. Thank you so much.